Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. Before we get into the show, can I just say that I've returned and resumed my position of what I call the toilet concierge on the train home in the evenings. Now that I've been using the bigger bike rather than the Brompton to cycle to and from work. And the downer of that is that you have to put your bike up in the little area next to the big toilet on the train. And that means you sit facing the toilet and end up fielding questions from everybody about whether someone's in there, how long they've been in there for, does the door work? So last night, honest to God, I advised a couple of people that the door, the actual mechanism broke and they've got to force it open themselves. I said, watch out, there's a guy in there as well. Honest to God, I'm genuinely thinking about bringing in, I don't know, perfume, aftershave, you know, you get in a toilet in a nightclub. Yeah. Toilet concierge.
Couple of things here. First of all, I reckon the job that you're doing, you should be paid. You should be paid a fee by the train operating company for what you're doing.
Thank you. Even a coupon off my journey from the C to C.
Secondly, I can't believe out of all of the things that you moaned about being the train concierge, you didn't add in the smell of the seat. Because I've got to be honest, if you're in a situation where you have to use a train toilet, I think you've made an admin error.
Yes.
Honestly.
Why do people sit? This is the bit I don't get, right? I have to sit there because someone will steal my bike, okay?
Yes.
So I would never sit there in a million years if it wasn't for the fact that my bike was there. But you get these people, sometimes they get on and there's like a bloke sat there having a sandwich 4 yards from where someone is like Frankie Bull described as being opened up like a prize on the generation cake.
And also, let's be frank, because of the style door that you get on a train toilet, you can hear everything that is going on in there, and like the vacuum toilet sucking it all down. It's why would you want to sit there?
Sometimes bad water comes out from the bottom as well. It's just the worst thing. So
bad water.
But anyway, look, if you're going to be on the 7:35 tonight out of Fenchurch Street, let me know and I'll give you a little spritz.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Good to be here. Thursday afternoon's home time show. Need to tell you about my Wednesday night. It might not surprise you to hear that neither me nor Bush are great regarding attention spans.
I'd already slightly started looking out the window when you're talking then. Oh, it's a crisp packet floating around.
I yesterday had to sit and watch a 2-hour seminar on grassroots football.
Wow. So were you caught speeding or something? Why did you have to do it?
I'll explain. Now, it's actually very important. Look after Rocco's under-9s football team.
Yep.
New season starting in just over a week's time. Still doing a few friendlies at the moment. And he's very excited about the new season starting. But little does he know that, you know, just for him to go and play football properly and safely on a Saturday, I've got to sit through these things. And my attention span is not good.
But do they know that you're there? Because let's be honest with you, a lot of meetings we have at this radio station, a little bit like Homer Simpson from The Simpsons, you can have like a woodpecker toy tapping on the space bar and people will think you're actually on the meeting.
They do know that you're there because obviously because it's football and it's kids, it's important subjects that are being, being talked about. You're talking about first aid and FA procedures and safeguarding. These are all very important topics. They know that you're there because you have to watch video, and if you haven't watched the video all the way through, then it won't get you onto the next bit of the seminar. And the next bit of the seminar, you've got to answer questions about the video, and if you don't answer them correctly, you're back to square one. So you do have to do this whole thing. It took me 2 hours.
That honestly sounds like one of the worst evenings I could possibly have. Particularly if you're doing it when you get home from work. I can't even string a sentence together when I finish this show.
It's all going to be worth it because it's for the football. It's for the glory of the great game.
It's for the kids.
It's for the kids.
It's for Michael
Jackson. Thing. What is the latest seminar or presentation that you have had to sit through and watch?
Well, see, for me, I mean, I'm really bad with these things, as we've just discussed. I refuse to sit and watch stuff like that because I'm quite childlike, I think, overall in my mind. But the last thing that I kind of watched recently was a video about how to put the tent up. Because we went camping to a music festival, into the big festival, which was great. I just thought I don't want to be there in front of other people who are setting their tents up. It was like two other dads doing it at the same time, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't reading the instructions in front of them, even down to the kind of piece of paper that's in the actual bag. So I watched the video, and it's the same thing every time. You get these videos for stuff that's supposed to be easy, where they have ukulele There's always a ukulele if they're trying to make it sound like this is dead easy. Do you know what I mean?
And did you get the tent up?
Yeah, in the end. I was the last to finish.
Little survey, the latest seminar, the most recent seminar or presentation, what was the title of it, that you have had to watch? Grassroots football for me. Shout out to Three Bridges under 10s and under 15s. Davies sat through the same presentation as I did. Let us know yours. Unconnected, 8, 12, 15. This one sounds a bit dry. Anti-money laundering and accounts.
See, I just couldn't do it. I would refuse to do it.
I wouldn't want you anywhere near accounts.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's called adulting, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. I don't think I'm really ready for that. The one that terrifies me, and this is not the only reason that I don't speed, but it's one of the main reasons that I don't speed on the roads, is having to sit down doing a speed awareness course.
I think you're a very safe driver, having been in a car with you. I don't think you're anywhere near going through that.
Thank you.
As far as saying you're actually quite a slow driver.
Well, that's because I don't want to sit in a group with people I don't know and watch videos. Now, I mentioned earlier on that the only instructional thing I've watched so far is having to put up a tent, okay? TJ has dropped me a message saying, I was camping many years back and another family came to visit us for the day. They ended up buying a family camping bundle from the local town to join us for the next two nights. The tent was huge and the instructions were on a DVD, which wasn't much use in the middle of a field.
The tent that I have at home is said to assemble in 3 seconds.
There's absolutely no way.
No, honestly.
There's no way.
It's one of those ones, you unzip it and you just throw it in the air.
Okay.
And it that's it, it's there.
It's the kind of tent that people leave behind at the Reading Festival that we were talking about yesterday.
That's very true.
And I'll guarantee you, I'll bet you 500 quid you can't put it back in the bag again.
I remember wrestling it and swearing and just getting really, really fed up. Fire doors explained. How about that?
I hate fire doors. Don't you hate fire doors?
Well, they're important.
No, they look so bad. I just think they look really... They remind me of, like, weird bed and breakfasts. Do you know what I mean?
It's the explanation part of it that I would be... I mean, what needs explaining?
Yeah, they do. They just do what they do, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know, they've got, like, marshmallow in them and goes a bit thicker when it gets hot, doesn't it? That's kind of a low-level explanation.
Maybe we should watch it.
Yeah, we'll report back.
Right, let's find out yours. Paul is hanging on. The most recent you watched, Paul?
I had to go on a working at heights safety course.
Right. Working at heights.
Working at heights. Course. Let's have a little game. Let's guess what Paul does.
I think Paul cleans windows at very high level outside skyscrapers, etc.
Okay, I'm gonna guess that Paul works on one of those great big construction cranes.
You're not quite there, lads. Unfortunately, I'm a floor layer.
What does a floor layer need to know about working at heights, Paul? This is insane.
This is what I'm trying to find out.
What is the highest height you have ever laid a floor?
At ground level.
There you go. Ask a silly question, get a silly answer. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thanks a lot, lads.
Cheers,
keep
Paul.
Up the good work.
Cheers, buddy.
Bye. Sometimes when the show starts, in fact, every single day, you just never know what conversations you're going to end up having.
It's a roller coaster, this radio show, isn't it?
At the beginning of the show, at 4 o'clock today, just 50 minutes ago, would you have imagined we'd have lined up a bloke to talk about fire doors?
I'm excited about it.
We've been asking about the seminars, the webinars that you've had to sit through recently. Got one in earlier that just said, fire doors explained.
Wow.
We've got the lucky man on the phone, Mike. Tell us, what have you learnt then about these then, Mike?
It's basically it's to become a certified installer for a well-known scheme. So basically, they split three phases to the seminar over 3 days. So day one is they talk to you how a fire door is made up and all that kind of good stuff and the internals, and then it goes on to how to install and then how to maintain underneath a scheme in order to make something legal and certifiable.
Mike, can I ask you a question? By day
yes,
one and a half of this thing, were you absolutely sick to death of fire doors?
Absolutely.
Sick of it?
Absolutely.
Doesn't want to see one. He absolutely goes mad now if he sees them, Mike, apparently. He doesn't want to talk about it on the radio, which is absolutely fine. He goes anywhere near a fire door, he'll attack it like a bird attacking its own reflection in the window. Won't you, Mike?
I will indeed, I.
There you go.
But show off, Mike. Just final thing. Show off. Tell us what is... If we were going to go out and buy a fire door right now, what is the best type of fire door we could possibly find?
Probably a fire door 60-minute smoke. So basically, it produces, gives you 60 minutes fire protection, but it also stops smoke from seeping.
brilliant. 60 Minute Smoke's a great model. They've never really beaten that, to be honest with you. Oh, he's got his off again, Mike. Don't worry about it. We're not going to talk any more about Fire Doors.
Bush and Ritchie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
Do you know what? I'm doing something very highbrow after the show this evening. Rather than just like watching Netflix on my phone and try not to fall asleep, I'm doing something highbrow after this. I'm off to an art gallery.
Oh, wow.
Check me out.
Wow.
My cousin Jojo is having her artwork exhibited. It's the display, the thing's called the Lunatics Common Room. Right. And no, it's not a display about the Everton transfer window. It's actually a load of photographs that she's taken up in Sheffield. They're really cool. It's from the 2nd to the 12th of September, the Four Corners Gallery in Bethnal Green. Very proud of her. And I can only imagine how she's feeling. I've been obviously seeing on our family group chat and Instagram her setting the stuff up with her dad, who's my Uncle Phil, and getting it all ready to go in this kind of this gleaming white gallery, as you would imagine an art gallery to be. But you can't beat that feeling, I imagine, of having something that you've created displayed at an exhibition. So whether it's just all your stuff or even just something you've done is out there with things that other people are displaying as well. I guess the high point for me, do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago now, I did the little celebs at home pictures?
I do remember them, yeah.
Yeah, they were displayed at the Hard Rock Cafe. That's my high point. I've had nothing since then. I'd love to do something else.
I'm sure you can.
Thank you. Have you ever had anything displayed?
Not that I've created myself, but on a similar vein, our school football team, final year of primary school, we won the Town Cup.
Town Cup.
And there was a picture that went in the local paper, and the school got that picture and framed it. It's us as like little 10, 11-year-olds, all in black and white, and the winning team. And because my younger brothers went to the same primary school, I was able to keep going back. And the picture of that winning team was up in the school hall for years on end. And I'd love to know if it was still there now.
Why am I getting vibes of that photo at the end of The Shining, where they're all together, black and white, holding glasses up on New Year's Eve, 1934?
I felt so proud seeing the team up there.
Well, it's good. This is it. It's, you know, it's just you being on the wall. It's a cool thing. Doc Watson says, I did a drawing of a blue whale for Blue Peter. Giants of the Land and Sea competition. Philip Schofield held it up to camera upside down in the broom cupboard. But I did win the Blue Peter badge and a drawing pad, and it was exhibited in all the runners-ups as well exhibition at the Natural History Museum.
Wow!
Right to the top there. Yeah. So look, if you had something of yours displayed at an exhibition and you're proud of it, tell us. Sound Dave, the Evertonian, has sent us a message. His dad is in a photo, an exhibition about the history of Goodison Park.
There you go.
And he's there. He must be a steward at Goodison back in the day because he's got high vis on. But what he's done, his dad, he's posed next to the photo of him in his steward's outfit.
Classic.
Currently wearing the outfit that he's got in the photo.
That's brilliant.
Life becomes art.
Yes. Look, it's a highbrow show. Highbrow listeners. How about this from Mark in Reading? Can't tell you who I work for, he says, but something that I built is being displayed at the Smithsonian this year.
Wow, that is one to beat.
Gemma's dad. Gemma's dad on an album from Rush because he used to be a roadie.
Oh, that's cool, isn't it?
I think it's cool.
Isn't it like your black and white football photo
yes.
from Between the Wars? It's there, captured for posterity.
87-88, that team, thank you very much.
Mike in a village near Rugby says, chap, slight variation on your theme, but for the past 15 years, I've been making the metal defibrillator cabinets you see everywhere, all from a workshop in my garden. I still get excited when I see one of my cabinets whilst on holiday or travelling about.
That's incredible.
You see them in little villages everywhere.
I do, yeah.
In the Cotswolds and stuff. Good on you. He says, my company's called Turtle Medical. If you want to give us a plug, well done there, Mike. Very proud of you. Let's go to the phones. We've got Lou on the line. Lou, what thing of yours has been the centre of attention recently?
So on Saturday, there was a horticultural show in Epping Church in Essex, and I took along a marrow, and I won the heaviest marrow. I beat all the horticultural people because I'm not one of those type, and I won.
So
it was massive.
Lou, you won, just to clarify, the heaviest marrow competition in the Epping area.
I did.
Wow. Congratulations is the first thing that we should say. Secondly, how big was your marrow? Or how heavy?
They didn't say. I looked at the back of the ticket where it said first place and they didn't say, but it was just the heaviest. It was huge.
It was like a dinner lady's arm. And then what do you do with a marrow that wins a competition like that? Do you take it back and eat it straight away? Or what happens to it?
Do you know, I think it's a bit leathery because I've grown it for so long. So, maybe not.
Leathery marrow.
Leathery marrow.
Lovely to speak to you and bask in your success there, Lou.
Thank you.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
That's right, it's the soundtrack to Help, where one of you, a hometime listener in need, gets in touch with us via email or however you can find us. And then we use the brain's trust that is myself and Richie. We're kind of passengers in this, to be honest with you. It's mainly you guys. Can you come up with a good solution for their problem?
Julia has got in touch. hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. Hi, Bush and Richie. I don't want to be rude, but... It's a worrying first line.
That's a good start to an email.
I don't want to be rude, but I think you two are of a similar vintage to me. It's getting worse.
30s.
Yes. And could help me with a problem I'm having with my daughter's return to school this week. Maya is moaning about what is on the menu for school dinners this half term. Right. Honestly, they seem to have a different hot meal every single day. She has no idea how lucky she is, right? I remember being sent in with a packed lunch, and I threatened to give her a taste of what I had in the 80s if she doesn't want to have the hot banquet that she's being offered. What would you have found in the typical lunchbox from the 1980s if I was to make her one now? Julia.
Love that. A practical thing. Teaching them a lesson by sending them in with an actual 1980s lunchbox.
She'll be back on the hot banquet before she knows it.
Weirdly enough, even this morning on my phone on the way down on the school run, I was going through the menu for the kids for school with my 4-year-old and 7-year-old. The stuff they get is incredible. On offer, there was like a lasagna, and then there was like this kind of roast dinner. If they didn't fancy that, they can have pick and mix. Well, there's some kind of like socialising gathering.
Julia, we are very on board with you here. So for me, my packed lunch memory is bad bottles, all right?
Bad bottles.
So in the lunchbox, there was always sort of like some kind of blackcurrant squash.
Yes.
But because it was bad like plastic technology at the time, nothing ever sealed. So every sandwich that my mum would make me tasted of like blackcurrant because it would have weeped out.
A breached Capri Sun or something.
So bad, yeah.
I mean, for me, it's meat paste. I'm sensing meat paste here. Everything was meat paste. I still kind of like it. But what I believe my mum did was make the sandwich on white bread, put cling film on it, and then smack it with like a breadboard because they're always really flattened out. Drink-wise, it's got to be, she's got to get SodaStream, Witch's Brew. Do you remember like the SodaStream technology? I don't know if SodaStream's still a thing, but we used to have that all the time. And then there's chocolate bars that are no longer a thing anymore. Do you remember the Texan bar?
Yes.
Break your teeth on it. Yeah. 100% nugget.
Do you would have a SodaStream in your lunchbox?
Yeah, you can take it with you.
Wow.
My mum did all right for ourselves there in Trovegas back in the day.
We didn't have a SodaStream. All my mates had a SodaStream. We didn't have one.
We talk about SodaStream like they've reinvented the wheel. What have they come up with? Putting bubbles into water. It's the biggest fraud of the 20th century.
I remember my mate Jason's house to have a SodaStream.
Well, the less I know about that, the better. Put that in the book.
Right. What is going in the 1980s lunchbox for Julia, please?
This should be part of the curriculum. There should be one day of the term where you've got to come in with a lunchbox that's right out of the wheelhouse of your parents' childhoods. Yeah. Dave from Hull says, food for the lunchbox, I would strongly suggest jam sandwiches made with white bread, if you're lucky, maybe a club biscuit, and then if you're exceptionally lucky, maybe a packet of Space Raiders.
Oh,
lovely.
Cheese spread sandwiches or turkey paste, says this. Crisps and a blue and white striped club biscuit.
Oh, a classic. Whilst we're talking about crisps, what about those crisps that had a blue sachet in them? We can shake out the salt.
The shake and vac ones.
There you go. Shake and vac. Isn't that the...
salt and shake.
Brings the freshness back. Don't do that in the lunchbox.
Do not.
Daryl from Lincoln says, regarding kids packed lunch, my mum used to make me lunch and meat sandwiches with tomato sauce 4 out of the 5 days. I avoid lunch and meat nowadays. I think I would die if it touched my lips. If I was lucky, I'd get a wagon wheel, but that was rare. It was usually a penguin, which I now also avoid.
Richard in Kent says, crab paste sandwich.
I kind of like the idea of that.
Really?
I still have a thing, a soft spot, a crush on those old pastes.
Crab paste sandwich, carton of orange juice and a munch punch.
I feel like these days, that's the kind of stuff you get thrown if you're being detained. That and a like a blanket to put over your shoulders. Similar to the blackcurrant situation, there should also be Viscount biscuits in the lunchbox. So everything tastes of mint. all my sandwiches were round because my mum always bought milk roll for sandwiches. I think, what the hell's milk roll? For a snack, I sometimes got two digestive biscuits, listen to this, stuck together with butter. That's not something they took down the mines.
Wow. Gary says, my mum would do Shipham's chicken and ham paste. Whoa. With a carrot cut into battens and no drink because we got free milk in those days before Thatcher.
There you go.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
That's it for your Daily Takeaway podcast. Just going back to the train toilets, one other little bugbear of mine.
Yes.
Various train toilets have these. Have you seen those signs where it says, please don't flush down this toilet? It give you normal items, then it will go your hopes and dreams and all this. Yeah. I hate all that.
Is that Virgin Trains?
They were one of the ones that used to.
Because what they do is there's a certain train company, I can't remember which one it is, they try and talk to you like they're your mate.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get like a bill from them, they're like, hey you. Like, don't hey you me. You're overcharging me for broadband. Get lost.
You buy your broadband from a train company.
Yeah, I get Anglia Rail net. Absolutely brilliant.